Have a great day, everybody. Stick around for Morning Magazine coming up right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. A Republican supermajority in the North Carolina House of Representatives yesterday joined the state Senate in overriding the Democratic governor's veto of an abortion bill. That bill bans abortions after 12 weeks of pregnancy. Democratic State Representative Diamond Staten Williams.
When I read this language of Senate Bill 20, all I see is the removal of the God-given right for myself and folks like me to make decisions for ourselves.
Williams said she herself had ended unviable pregnancies after having already had two children. President Biden is leaving this morning for Japan for a summit of the world's largest economies. But the trip has been shortened because of the debt ceiling crisis. CBS's Weijia Jiang has that.
President Biden said that even though he is going overseas, he plans to speak with congressional leaders by phone regularly and that their staffs would meet here in Washington daily. He plans to come back to town on Sunday.
Sources tell CBS News that investigators are scouring grainy video that may show the person who got into the home of National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan. CBS's Catherine Herridge reports U.S. law enforcement officials confirm the man slipped past at least three Secret Service agents and then through a robust interior security system.
The door was reportedly unlocked when the intruder, apparently intoxicated, entered the home 2 weeks ago around 3 a.m. Sullivan confronted the man and told him to leave. The Secret Service detail outside did not know about the break-in until Sullivan told them.
A struggling NBA team has won the opportunity to make the number one draft pick a teenager almost no one has ever heard of.
The number one pick in the 2023 NBA draft goes to the San Antonio Spurs.
And the Spurs' number one overall pick will likely be 19-year-old French hoop star Victor Wembanyama, who issued a warning on ESPN.
I'm trying to win your ring ASAP, so be ready.
The 7'3" teenager is considered the best draft prospect since LeBron James. The Spurs can put him to good use. The team tied for second worst in the league this season. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
House Democrats are forcing a vote on expelling New York Republican Congressman George Santos. The effort is expected to fail, but it will force Republicans to take a stand on their indicted colleague, something that many of them say they would prefer not to do. On Wall Street, Dow futures having risen on new hopes that the debt ceiling deal would be reached. The Dow itself is now up 69 points at this hour, S&P 500 up 5. This is CBS News.
Find your next great hire with Indeed. Their hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Before New Cascade Platinum Plus, I would pre-rinse all my dishes because my old detergent just wouldn't get them clean. But now, I do dishes differently. A no pre-wash, no rewash, money-back guaranteed kind of different. Because Cascade Platinum Plus has double the grease-fighting power of Dawn built right in, with twice the scrubbing power, giving me a clean that lets me break all the dish rules. I just scrape, load, and I'm done. Yep, so clean. With Cascade Platinum Plus, I dare to dish differently.
Progressive covers pets in our auto policy at no extra charge. Now, let's see what your dog has to say.
As a dog, I think Progressive's auto pet policy is... Oh, what is that? That's just my tail. Weird. Anyway, Progressive protects... There it is again. See? This is why I need protection. I'm so distracted. Nope, that is still my tail.
Progressive Auto Insurance covers pets for up to $1,000 in a car accident at no extra charge. And we think your dog would say that's great, too. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage for cats and dogs included with the purchase of collision coverage and subject to policy terms.
Put a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 66. Southeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies again tonight, lows dip down to about 43. Cloudy skies tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely, highs level off around 75.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
Currently, it's 47.
Locally grown, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM, WFHR programming is broadcast.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this May 17th, 2023, 10:05 on the clock. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. At 10:30, we're going to welcome in Reverend Beth Habhager with the Walk Off Debt event. We're going to talk about that, of course, being sponsored by Grace. We'll talk more about Grace and the Walk Off Debt with Beth in just a little bit. Right now, one of our favorite conversations we look forward to every month, Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer in with us right now. Good morning, Shane.
Good morning, James.
Good to see you. How you been?
I've been well, and you?
Good, good. Thanks for being here. We, of course, want to say a good shout-out to our friends Taylor and the gang over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Appreciate you guys being here. Thanks so much for the time. Great shirt, by the way. You look great. You always look good. Appreciate you guys being here, and appreciate being able to put this on your YouTube page, which we encourage you to subscribe to. Just type in your YouTube, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, subscribe to the page, support the great work that they are doing. I want to start off with work, actually, with you, sir. Right away, I wanted to touch on this. You guys have some new hours at City Hall. Wanted to let everybody know about that.
That's correct. It's Monday through Thursday, 8 to 4:30, and then on Friday, it's 8 to noon. And people have asked, and so people only get paid for the hours they work. Most people are putting in extra time, or they're still working 8 to 4:30 even on Friday. But Friday afternoons have been notoriously slow, and other area communities have gone to these type of hours. And so we're trying it for 6 months, and we'll see how it goes and see what happens with the public. But because we are a service orientation, but I think it's pointless, and I think it's also good for recruiting employees and employee retention, having that ability to be done at noon. And I've kind of taken a notice now and watching what even other area businesses are doing. And you know, I've seen businesses close at 2 p.m. on on Fridays, and so it's just kind of maybe the world we're starting to live in here, and thought we'd give it a shot.
We've seen restaurants and similar Absolutely. Things do this. Yeah. Bars often do this. Very few bars are open 24, you know, 7 in the morning till 2 at night or something like that. So it makes sense, and it kind of adds to the world we're growing, we're adapting to. You have a lot more people working from home now. You have a lot of these things. We're kind of refiguring out how to run business.
Absolutely, and there are the naysayers out there, and they can be the naysayers, but I don't think they're in the minority. And we're going to give it a shot and see how it works out, and if it's a problem or if there's issues, then we'll go back to the other hours. But the communities around us have done this, just continued on, and has been no issue.
Wouldn't it be nice to have at least one thing that you do that doesn't get met with like 50% of the audience likes it, 50% doesn't like it? It'd be probably nice to just have one thing. Like, you would think of all things, this would be one of those, but no.
No, there's not. Always, and we do so much online now, and there's so much you can do just on our website that we don't find the traffic that we had pre-COVID, because we've adapted through COVID. And you know, when we are closed at City Hall, like everybody has in other industries, and so now people feel they don't need to come to City Hall and do business.
And certainly the role of government, the role of city officials and everything is to serve the people, to help people and all that. But you got to have people to be able to do it. And I think a really important comments that you had there in response was retaining workers, benefiting workers, mental health towards workers. That stuff has to come first, really, in a lot of ways. Otherwise, it doesn't matter. You can have all the great rules in place. If you don't have the employees to run, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. And you see that across the country here and across all industries, is that there is a worker shortage or a desire to work shortage. And you know, we have to be adaptive if we want to still provide services and hire employees, and because it's highly competitive now.
We recently had the grand opening and ribbon cutting for the RASC, Rapids Area Sports Center. How did that go?
Actually, I was playing ball with my son in another community. He plays on the freshman team for the high school baseball team. So we were traveling that day. We were over actually in Eau Claire while Eau Claire was over here. And so I got to see the pictures on Facebook, but I missed the actual grand opening.
It did sound like it went really well. And I more so bring it up, one, because I credit you for that. We need to do more of that in life. The ribbon cutting is going to be okay without the mayor there. Oh, we can have a ribbon cutting with it. That was more important. I think that was more important what you were doing. And I commend you for that, sir, because I honestly don't hear enough of that in people, especially in positions like yourself. But more so to the point, the complex itself is up. It's running. This is a huge thing for our community.
Absolutely.
I know that when the Rafters came to town, River Kings came to town, that brought up a big story. You know, having the water park, a big story. This should be right at that same level with these things. The economic impact it can have has already been noted, and let alone what's going forward.
Yeah, so, you know, we've obviously played there too, but there have been nights that other communities have come and played their games here too because their fields weren't ready. And so there's been some variety of baseball there. I actually was there when UW-Platteville and UWSP were playing. They had a game on Sunday and a game on Monday. And a team stayed overnight here. The Platteville team stayed in town. So, you know, there's a benefit there. And, you know, the people that put that time and effort into make that complex and make that come to fruition, and all the donations and the Legacies partnership in there, it's amazing. And then you would couple that with the community and the referendums they've supported for the school improvements. You know, we've got a new pool and other, you know, science and new entrances. And, you know, we've done some really great investments into our, you know, whether it be schools and sports complexes. And yeah, it's phenomenal, and it's only going to benefit everybody.
Yeah, and certainly the kids, and I think all of us growing up would have loved to have had that playing the play-in as kids and stuff. We can still do it as adults, but you know what I mean, like going to school there or something like that. But that's certainly important, a part of this. But that the opportunities that this presents, you know, I look at the Rafters, and when the Rafters do such a great job, like a lot of ballparks in America, when they're not having games, bring a concert in there. Have Chris Lee come in there and perform or something like that. Like, that's a smart move. It's a similar thing with this complex. When it's not being used by high schoolers or any of these kind of things, we have our national baseball tournament there in Wisconsin or something like that. Like, some of these Wisconsin events can be held here. It's not as if we're not built for this. We do it every summer with the water ski tournament. Like, we've been doing this for decades around here, so we're perfectly built for this.
Yeah, we adapt. And even this summer, you know, with the Legion program here, they play there. And so they're holding a state tournament there this summer.
So
it's going to be a lot of baseball there. And then on top of it, you add the Red Hawks in there. The next age group above Legion there. And, you know, they provide a lot of opportunities for people to continue playing baseball and for the community to continue to support that baseball program.
We got to get some of the Red Hawks on the air with us. We haven't gotten to talk to anybody yet or anything. I really want to get them on the air. We don't get to talk about them nearly enough.
Yeah, so there's plenty of baseball, and it's a phenomenal facility, concession stands, and it's a lot of fun being there.
It's great use of space. You know, I study this a lot, and when it comes to rural communities and how they're adapting and how they handle everything, from, you know, population to commerce to infrastructure, all these things. And then the pandemic happens, and that changes almost all those numbers. And we're seeing now that stuff is kind of like evening out, and we're kind of getting back to whatever the new normal is and stuff. And one of the things that I came across in the research and finding out things was what a lot of places are doing with old buildings, abandoned buildings. Mm-hmm. Not everybody can put a business in there. So what they're doing with a lot of these is putting pickleball tournaments or courts into these buildings, like abandoned malls and that kind of stuff. For a number of years, we were looking at that Shopko building and thinking, oh, what are we going to do with it? What can we do with it? You and your staff have done an amazing job filling that and doing, you know, taking care of that. So not so much looking at that, but looking looking at the rest of town here, do you think that that might be an option for us here in Rapids or just in general?
Yeah, as in pickleball? So
pickleball or anything really like that that might be a little bit different than just a business going into a former business.
Yeah, so the new CEO over at the YMCA there, he's a very strong, I don't know if he's been on your radio yet, but he's a great guy. And so, he's a very avid pickleball guy. And so I know he has desires and hopes for some expansion in the pickleball area here. And it's finding that right use for a building. I just desperately think we need a sporting goods store here. And that's what we've been trying for and working with developers on is trying to attract a sporting goods store here in town. And There are buildings for use, but there's also, there's not a large amount of space opening in either. So I do know of some businesses that are looking for sites to build to be able to open another business here, and it's, so they're working on that, and some try to fit an existing building. There was an existing building that I can't announce yet, but it has been sold, and it's going to be a new type of restaurant here that we don't have in town, and the person or the business that was in there is looking to build a new building somewhere else. And there's a lot of activity going on yet. Yeah. And so this summer and this fall, we'll see some more changes coming up, which will be exciting, and some new opportunities in town.
Very, very exciting. Especially when we consider how important this is nowadays. I'll come back to sports for a second because I want to. No, because I can't help myself. It's one of those things where it doesn't always come down to, these kids are going to become professional athletes, right, or we're going to bring in a professional sports team or something like that. We're talking money. We're talking economics here when we're talking about sports. And one of the easiest ways to increase your economic portfolio in a town is having sports involved. Usually that's the local high school teams and everything. We are spoiled here where we have, you mentioned the Red Hawks, we have the River Kings, we have the Rafters, we have these kind of things. So we have an advantage that other cities don't have to be able to take advantage of that commerce. I mentioned the water ski tournament every year we have in town here. Those kind of things, are we looking to have more of that in town, or are we welcoming more of that, especially with the sports complex being opened up and everything?
Absolutely. We've been, I know, as a matter of fact, last night there was a youth baseball tournament, it was kind of round robin last night up at held at the Quadplex with some of the Risa kids. I believe Point, Marshfield, and Rapids were here, and they're playing a round robin tournament. And so I think, all levels of age groups are taking advantage and be able to use those facilities there and hopefully fill it up. And like you said, there is an economic impact, so Platteville coming to town, staying in town, eating food, staying in our hotels and motels, that has a direct economic impact. And if we can hold more tournaments here, and I think, we have the benefit of, being centrally located. And so we can kind of use some of that. I believe the state 8-man football tournament was last fall here on the new turf complex for the football field. And, I hope to see more WIA events here because of our central location, and now that we have turf that you can attract those type of events.
Yeah, we really do have the location thing that works out for us in a lot of ways. There's most any city in this state is almost an hour or 2 hours away at the most. Yep. So that really goes a long way, I would think. Now that we have these facilities to really host this kind of stuff, that takes it to another level. And there's no rural community that is not struggling with keeping people or losing people. And we've talked about this a number of times of how important it is and how I think that we're a little better set in this department than most communities are around the country. But you can't just sit on your laurels. You have to do things to keep that up and everything. And that brings me to the dog park, which is a part of the purpose of the dog park, is not just to take care of our local residents and people who already live here, but those families that are looking at moving to Rapids and they're checking out schools and they're checking out jobs and everything. And then they see we have a dog park. And that's obviously one of the biggest ways to bring people to your community. So how is the dog park going? I hear that we have good news about that coming up, hopefully by the end of summer and that kind of thing.
So matter of fact, I was just talking about it. We need to get it addressed. So if you want to put in your Google or your maps, you can find where to go. So we were talking about that yesterday, and Taylor has done a bunch of amazing drone footage.
Yes.
So we were talking about trying to maybe develop, we need to develop a website for the dog park and our park and rec, and be able to put a lot of these links in there and in the footage. And as Taylor builds a grader from beginning to end kind of presentation. I'm looking forward to that because it's been amazing what he's got done so far. And so the fencing is up. I've walked around the fence line. We figure the inside of the dog park will eventually become a walking path, a woodchip walking path at this point, and maybe asphalt down the road so you can push a stroller or a wheelchair and you can let the dogs just run around. But we haven't figured out the distance yet for a mile. So the fencing is up, and American Fence did a great job there.
Yes.
And they do amazing work they do a lot of work around the community. And so now we're just working on pulverizing the soil and cleaning up. There's an extraordinary, a very large amount of wood chips there just from all the grinding going on. And we're working on getting the center area because it's kind of wide open. Yeah. We want to get that seeded and the grass established because otherwise I think it'll become just a big mud pit. And nobody wants to, have a muddy dog. And
the dogs may want it.
Yeah,
the dogs don't mind getting muddy, but we don't want that.
We're going to have hoses set up so everybody can clean their dogs off before they leave. But, yeah, the small dog park is pretty much, it doesn't need much. It was already pretty good. But, we locked the gates because we need to do work in there and get equipment. And there have been people, which it's okay. We're fine with it. But we noticed a number of dog prints in there when we're walking around, which is really great to see that people are excited and looking forward to using it because, I don't know, walking around, it's huge. It really is a very large space that is going to be able to accommodate a lot of people and dogs and just letting the dogs go crazy.
It's an exciting thing for our community. We're looking forward to it. I got to imagine, too, for you and your staff, it's exciting when these things get to this point. You have the idea. You have the thought. You're hoping the community will back you on it. You get to this point where it's, we're past shovels in the ground and all that stuff. It's got to feel pretty good. I don't know how many wins you guys get, you and your staff. I hope a lot of them. And I think you deserve a lot of them. And I know that the community feels that way. But we tend to be our own harshest critic. And I don't know if you necessarily always get those wins. So I hope you guys are enjoying that.
I'm excited about it. You know, it's something I've wanted all along here. And I thought it was very important for the community. And I need to reiterate once again that, the construction of this, all the fencing, the money allocated for it currently, it was all done through room tax dollars. So it was our visitors to our community that stayed in our hotel, motels, VROBs and all that. And Airbnbs that pay room tax dollars goes into a fund and a chunk of that goes to our park and rec department. And so we use that money to create this. So the visitors for our community have provided our community with a dog park and not necessarily our local tax dollars.
We're fortunate. All of our representatives, our officials in this area all believe in transparency. And it's one of the reasons why I love talking with you is the transparency. But what I really enjoy is the breakdowns you give us like that right there. That may not seem like huge information, but I guarantee there's a bunch of people out there that did not know that are that feel that much better about the dog park because of it.
Yeah, because it was like, oh, you use tax dollars and you get all that groaning. But this was very important. Our park and rec commission that oversees that money, and that money they allocated and saw the value in having a dog park. And and we haven't gotten to it yet, but if we talk about the zoo and the prairie dog exhibit over there, that was donated money to do that by a family, Teskeys. They donated many hundreds of thousands of dollars to create new exhibits. Like last year, we got the kangaroo cage.
Yeah, yeah.
And then this year, there's a really neat prairie dog exhibit that's going to be there, and with a tube where you can pop up in the middle of the kids' can.
Awesome.
And so, there's some excitement, but that was also done with money that was donated and constructed with that donated money.
When it comes to a town like ours, we for a long time have had a retirement population, a senior population, and also struggling with trying to keep young people in or bring young people in. We've talked with other mayors about this. I'm curious of how you handle that balance, how you approach things when it comes to that. Is it something that you even concern yourself with? Because in a lot of ways, I don't think that it would necessarily have to even be on your radar, but I am curious if it is.
It is what it is, what we have for a population. But we're continuously trying. There's young professionals in the community. And, we're trying to work with developers to create more downtown housing. Mm-hmm. And housing is a huge factor. I've got a meeting coming up with a group of people about housing and affordable housing. And, that still seems to be a thing we're struggling with in the community. But I think if people want a vibrant downtown, and I think it's going to take people living living downtown and then seeing what will grow up after it. And, you know, so we've been meeting and working and talking with developers about trying to create something like that and getting them to see the value in developing something in this area that, you know, financially it's worthwhile for them, but it would be good for the community in the long run. And, yeah, we're constantly talking about, we've had some meetings internally and with council on potentially creating a new subdivision. Mm. And, you know, because we don't have... You know, most of new house construction is infill housing and vacant lots and things, but we don't have an area that's just set up for a new subdivision because we are kind of landlocked, but we do have an area that we can create a subdivision in. And, you know, so we're talking about that and, you know, some other housing opportunities. But, yeah, it's definitely, you know, something on our mind. And then obviously if you can get jobs that attract young professionals too, that's very important.
Yeah, yeah. It helps that I think... our surrounding areas are, we're all kind of in the same boat. Mm-hmm. And so you have, it's not uncommon to have somebody live here, work somewhere else, and vice versa and that. So mm-hmm. that goes well. And it's, I think Plover in general is a good example of this. I know when we first moved here, my family and I, Plover, you drove through Plover. That was about it. Yeah. Now, there's a billion businesses and different things over there and all that and stuff. And it always had seemed to me to be a cross-through town, and now it's a destination. Now mm-hmm. it's a stop. You go and you stop there and stuff. Rapids has had that for a long time, being a destination. Mm-hmm. But we've become now a location. We've become more of a place where people want to live, want to stay, want to put roots in and everything.
Correct. Yeah, and you're correct. And so, yeah, like you said, Plover, you know, I remember passing through there many times when I was young. But now it's a common place to go shopping because that's just become that retail hub. And these retailers aren't locating in every community now because we're so okay to travel. And it's okay to travel. And so they seem to put these retail hubs in now. And that's where you go to. And it's hard to attract them away from that hub.
Yeah. I wanted to wrap up on this, sir. Recently, you had a proclamation about National Police Week. This proclamation kicked off for President Kennedy proclaimed May 15th as National Peace Officer Memorial Day. And now we have, along with that, National Police Week that kicked off on May 14th this week. First, nicely done. Appreciate this. Certainly our community appreciates it. Why was it important to you to have this?
Well, May is very popular proclamation month, but Police Week is also very important to me because my best friend was shot and killed in the line of duty. So, you know, law enforcement is very near and dear to me, and it always will be, even though I've long been out. I think I've been out of it more than I've been in it in my adult life. So, you know, that's kind of a part of my past and my history. But, you know, there are people even in Wisconsin Rapids that have lost a family member in the line of duty, and you know, and so it's important to recognize and kind of acknowledge that this is going on, especially nowadays. You know, we've lost several officers already this year in Wisconsin, which is tragic. And yeah, I think it's important to remember and acknowledge that.
Very much. Yeah. I wanted you to, because I know it means something a little different to you than it does to some of us and everything. So I wanted to thank you for that, Shane. I appreciate it. I am sorry for your loss, for our community, our state's losses, you know, whenever it comes to these, any officer we lose.
Senseless.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And it's something that, you know, I love Westerns. I love watching Westerns. It's one of my favorite. I don't want to live in one. I have no interest in living in one. We need our police officers. We need them to feel safe in their jobs and to be able to do the jobs that we, you know, ask them to do.
Yeah, and also it's hard to recruit and attract because it's not a highly desired field to go in at this current time. And so the schools can only educate and train X number of people that are interested, and everybody's fighting across the state, fighting for those people and trying to pick the best one. And usually, you know, they all end up, all those recruits end up getting a job somewhere for the most part. But yeah, there are communities here that are dozens of officers short, and people are working nonstop, and that's only going to cause more people to leave law enforcement and less people wanting to get into it. And I think our lives would be interesting if we called 911 and it takes a couple hours for an officer to get there.
I know what that's like.
Yeah,
in my old neighborhood in the projects, that's exactly what would happen. And you don't want that, everybody. You do not want that.
No, I think that'd be very bad for a community, and
it'd
be a reality though.
We are in a dangerous area of society where certainly law enforcement, politics, teaching, we have jobs that young people are looking at, and they're seeing society just tear down. Mm-hmm. All the negative news and the negative this, negative that. And who wants to do a job like that? Like,
no, there's plenty of other options.
Right. It's important that we have both sides of things. I'm not saying we don't have accountability, obviously. Absolutely. We need that in society for all these jobs as well. But we also have to show both sides of it. And I will say, if I was a young officer and I was a young recruit and I was looking at cities, one city that would stand out to me is one investing in a new jail. I would think that that would stand out to me. So again, coming back to what we were talking about before about some of the other things that are new to this area or invested in, that we have invested in this community, that is another investment that is certainly important for the safety of our officers and the clients in there, but also bringing in people. I would think that that's another advantage to that.
Yeah, I think we're fortunate here, you know, with our current sheriff and our police department here in town. We had a new police chief sworn in last night, and you know, we've always had a really great relationship between community and police and community, and it hasn't been very, you know, extremely adversarial. You have your incidences, but generally overall, I consider us very lucky, and we're attracting great officers here. We're actually, I like to use the word stealing. We're stealing other officers from other departments, and because there's a reason why they're coming here, and they're coming to Central Wisconsin, coming to RPD and to the Sheriff's Department and the areas. And I think we're fortunate here compared to other areas. And you know, agreed. I hope it remains that way.
Shane, talked about a lot today. If people have follow-up questions, want to know more about some of what we've discussed, how can they reach you?
Probably it's easiest to call my office, 715-421-8202 is my direct line, or you can go online and get our email address, and we definitely respond pretty quickly to that also.
Greatly appreciate the time, as always. It's always a fun conversation hanging out with you. Thanks for the time.
I appreciate it, James. Thank you.
Big thank you to Taylor and all of our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media as well. Again, be sure to subscribe to their YouTube page. Keep up to date on all the great work that they're doing over there. Again, just type in your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, and like their page. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back with some more Morning Magazine. Good conversation at WFHR Locally Grown Radio.
Locally Grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
It's time to turn Fridays into Fri-yays with WFHR.HiveHopDeal.com. You'll find deals for spots around town like restaurants, spas, and more. This Friday at 8 a.m., you'll save 50% on another great local business.
This week's deal is from Becky's Sugar Shack Bakery and Cafe. Get a $50 gift card for just $25. That's right, $50 for just $25. From sweet treats to five-star Italian beefs. Becky's Sugar Shack Bakery and Cafe in Adams Friendship.
Save this Friday at 8 a.m. at WFHR.HiveHopDeal.com.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt US Kids, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 66. Southeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies again tonight, lows dip down to about 43. Cloudy skies tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely, highs level off around 75. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 47.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
All
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this May 17th, 2023. It is 10:34 on the clock, and we're into part two right now, where we're going to talk with our good friend, Reverend Beth Habhager, and we're going to talk about walk-off debt, the event coming up that is sponsored by Grace. Mm-hmm. Beth, good to see you.
Good to see you too, James.
Always good. It's been too long.
I know. It's been too long. We need to make it a more regular thing.
We should. We should. You should join us on the morning show sometime.
Maybe.
As Beth does join us every Monday on the morning show, be sure to be listening every Monday for that and her great smunkiness that we love so much. Beth,
that's a nice way of putting it, James.
I think that there's a couple of places we could start here. Mm-hmm. If you don't mind, I would like to start with what Grace is.
Absolutely. It's a new group that's kind of been forming. So mm-hmm. a lot of people are familiar with what was once called Cranberry Clergy,
yes.
or at what point it was called Tri-City Clergy.
Yeah.
Well, with the pandemic and some other things, that group kind of died and was no longer meeting that kind of thing. And there were a group of clergy that said, you know what, there's still a need for churches to work together in our community. So what can we do to make that happen? So we've been, over the last 6 months or so, just kind of meeting and getting our feet underneath us, figuring out what we want to be. And instead of calling ourselves Cranberry Clergy because we want to do more community events, mm-hmm. we thought, let's come up with an acronym or an acrostic, because my husband will correct me if I don't use the right word there. An acrostic. And Grace just seemed like a wonderful name for mm-hmm. any kind of a spiritual or religious organization to have. So for us, GRACE stands for Greater Rapids Area Churches for Ecumenism.
Mm-hmm.
And the four is one of those little fours, so you don't really have that in there. Yes, Greater Rapids Area Churches for Ecumenism.
So in recent years, we have seen a lot of our nonprofits join forces. Mm-hmm. When I first moved to this, and I've talked with Terry a lot about this, when I first moved here, our family, you would have this business trying to do this for kids and this nonprofit trying to do this for kids. And they were all kind of like scrambling. It was like crabs in a barrel after that $1.
Mm-hmm.
And now I give such a credit to all the heads of these nonprofits and them working together and joining forces.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a coincidence that our community survived the pandemic a lot better than others when we have these things.
Right.
We've talked about Focus joining forces, mm-hmm. the backpack program, the SWEPs, all these things are now under the Focus umbrella.
Right.
It does seem to make sense to join forces, but why was it important? Because this was something that you and your fellow clergy took the initiative of. This wasn't a community thing or anything like that. What was it to all of you that thought, hey, we're better together. We're stronger together.
Well, and that's part of what ecumenism is. It's realizing that though we may have some theological differences or the way in which we worship or handle our denominations may be different, we're all working towards the same goal, which is to benefit humanity. And so it makes sense for us to get together and utilize our resources, figure out what our strengths are, and support one another in doing that kind of work together. So in the past, the clergy would get together and hear from all of these other nonprofits in the community, the Family Center, United Way, Hannah's House, mm-hmm. Mary's Place, and we'd hear from them what we as individual congregations could do to support them. And now we're getting together and saying we as a body, as one group, could do a lot together.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing that came to us that we heard was a really big need was school food service debt.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of referenced that a little bit this morning on the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I do listen even when I'm not on.
That's nice of you.
On the morning show.
I appreciate it.
That's a huge thing, not just in our communities, but in our country, that there are so many families out there that even if they are on free or reduced lunch, still can't even pay that little bit that they need to pay. And one of the things that we found is that unless their debt is paid, seniors don't get their transcripts. And we want to be able to support the families in our community. So we decided, okay, what can we do to help this? So we talked about what individual congregations can do to support, and then we'd pull that together. And then we thought, well, what can we do to get the community to support as well? And how mm-hmm. can we help the community support itself?
Yeah.
I like to walk. That mm-hmm. I mean, that's not any secret.
Mm-mm.
And so I've participated in quite a few 5Ks, and we've got some great 5Ks in our community.
Yeah.
And that's kind of our long-term goal, is we want to mm-hmm. eventually create a 5K. But with school starting to come to a close and the need still there, we wanted to try to at least have a little bit of effort to do what we could for this year.
Get something off the ground and running.
Correct.
A little bit. Yeah.
So eventually it's going to be a 5K, but the name for this is called Walk Off Debt.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided it's great to help Nakusa, but Nakusa is not the only community that we're reaching that is in need.
Yeah.
So our hope is that this is going to be an annual event. but we're going to rotate communities and we're going to rotate school systems that we help, so that every school system is going to be able to be supported by the churches and by the community to help these families meet that need.
We've seen this affect rural communities more than others. So being able to start here, as having something like this kick off here is a really noteworthy thing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, I think, important to note, too, that oftentimes it's not as if you guys are in these positions. To think of something that doesn't necessarily always affect you or yours or your parishioners or something like that, I think, goes above and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about Walk Off Dead. I want to talk about the event and everything. Mm-hmm. But we'll do that after our commercial break.
Okay.
Before that, as we lead into the commercial break, I want to talk with you about the, because I'm curious. Nowadays, we're talking more and more about, and I see more on TV, more reverends, more preachers than I've ever seen in my life, and coming out and talking about how important unity is, how important equality is, and looking out for each other as citizens, regardless of who your faith is or any of that. So we have here in our community Grace being started and seeing something like this.
Mm-hmm.
So is part of it, part of the essence of you guys doing this also to show, hey, even other denominations can get along.
Right.
And showing how much, just another example into society of equality and of how we can get along with each other, that we have more in common than not.
Absolutely.
That.
You know, it's focusing more on what we have in common than what separates us. So, yeah, we may have different understandings of what the Bible says about this or that or this, but we all agree that there is a God.
Mm-hmm.
And we all want to be able to do what God wants us to do, which is support one another.
Yeah.
And so finding ways to make that happen. One of the things for me that really said we need to get some type of a faith community larger than just any one congregation is my thought of, we're hearing about all of this gun violence. We're hearing about natural disasters that are affecting all of these communities. If something that like that were to happen here, what would the faith community in general's response be? Not just individual congregations, but how can we come together?
Mm-hmm.
And there are other pastors and congregations in the community that all had that same thought. So we like I said, we're just getting our feet underneath us. Mm-hmm. We've had about a half a dozen to eight or dozen of us starting. We're definitely looking to expand. So if you're a member of a congregation and you're just now hearing about this group and your pastor may not know, please feel free to reach out and we would be glad to include them in what we're doing. And we meet monthly as the pastoral leaders so that we can get information back to our congregations.
Hmm. We'll get that. We'll do that one more time before we wrap up today and put that out there to everybody and make sure they know. We are speaking with Reverend Beth Habhager. We're talking about the Walk Off Dead event being sponsored by Grace coming up Saturday, May 20th. When we come back, we'll get into more of the details of that event here on Morning Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio.
It's time to turn Fridays into Fri-yays with WFHR.HiveHopDeal.com. You'll find deals for spots around town like restaurants, spas, and more. This Friday at 8 a.m., you'll save 50% on another great local business.
This week's deal is from Becky's Sugar Shack Bakery and Cafe. Get a $50 gift card for just $25. That's right, $50 for just $25. From sweet treats to five-star Italian beefs. Becky's Sugar Shack Bakery and Cafe in Adams Friendship.
Save this Friday at 8 a.m. at WFHR.HiveHopDeal.com.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 66. Southeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies again tonight, lows dip down to about 43. Cloudy skies tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely, highs level off around 75. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 47.
Welcome back, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this May 17th, 2023. 10:44 on the clock. Got your host, James, behind the mic, and I am joined by our great friend, Reverend Beth Habhager, talking about Walk Off Dead event coming up, sponsored by the Grace, and we're talking about what Grace is as well. Well, maybe if we have time, we'll talk about things over at the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church as well, where Beth is a reverend at. Beth, let's get into the Walk Off Dead event. Let's give people the details of this.
Okay, well, it's going to be coming up this Saturday, May 20th. We're going to have registration beginning at about 8:30, and registration is going to be very simple. We're going to have a clipboard there. We'd like your name and your email address or telephone number, some way that we can get up in contact with you so that we know that you've participated. We are suggesting and recommending at least a $10 registration fee. It's not required. It's more of a donation, but anything that we earn there, we are not keeping. Right. 100% of any money given that day is going to go towards paying off this school debt in the Nacoosa school system. If you are wanting to support this and not able to be there physically, you can easily drop off a check written out to the Nacoosa School District with a memo saying food service debt and drop it off at any of the churches that are participating. And there are a couple that we can easily list off for you, or just drop it off at the school system and it'll be added to whatever we raise. So we're going to start registration at 8:30 at the Riverside Park in Nacoosa. And you'll see we're going to have, and shout out to Quality Plus Printing, who are donating some yard signs with our Walk Off Debt logo so that you'll know where to go in the park.
Love our friends at QPP.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Phil, and the gang over there. So you come to that, sign up, bring your donation, and then we're going to walk the river walk up towards Airco, so for about a mile, and then back. Now, this is a walk as much or as little as you want. So if you don't think you can do two full miles, that's fine. Turn around and come back anytime you want to. If you want to do more, do a couple of laps. Maybe you can lap some of us who are just going to be walking the trail. We will have a couple of water stations set up, so if it's hot or you get thirsty, you'll have some things there. And our water has been donated by the Feldner Ritchie Funeral Home, so we thank them for their support with this as well.
Great people over there.
So this is, again, it's anybody who wants to come participate with us. You get some exercise. You get to help others who are in need. It's just a wonderful opportunity to spend time as a community as well.
So it sounds like you there is no pre-registration. So this is something you will register day of.
Correct.
Keep that in mind, everybody. I appreciate also that you gave us a breakdown of the tone of the event, if you will. We know we have a lot of marathon runners out here and people that you know, may take these things a little more serious than others.
Right.
So keeping that in mind, if you want to do that, participate, we encourage you to.
Right.
Just keep in mind that there's also going to be people walking and that kind of thing, too. The other part of that, Beth, that I appreciate out of you and so much of our community, the transparency.
Yes.
We need that in society so much nowadays. And I love that I never have to tee anybody up for that. You guys just do it. Because you get it. You understand.
Yes.
You understand where people are coming from and the importance of that transparency.
Well, we all want to know how our money's being used. And so many organizations, you don't know what percentage is being used towards administration and towards mailings and things like that. So to come to an event and know that if I give $10, that $10 is going directly to help pay off somebody school debt so that that student can get their transcript. And what we've said is we don't know how much we're going to make. We may only make $50, but at least that's $50 is going to help at least one student or maybe more. We've told the school district we're going to raise as much as we can and we're going to give you whatever we raise, and we want you to start with seniors, pay off all of the seniors' debt, and if there's more left over, start working your way down so that, you know, maybe our juniors that are in debt can not have to worry about that going into their senior year and be able to manage a little bit more. I was saddened to hear that in some school districts, they actually send out this debt for collection.
Yes.
To collection agencies to get the money for all of this. And we don't want any family to have to go through that kind of legal mumbo jumbo or whatever to be able to graduate school, to be able to get what they need.
And I hope this is clear. I don't think it needs to be said, but just in case, this is not anything that we're saying anything negative about our school systems or anything like that.
Because they need funds to be able to provide the food.
Right.
But like you were saying on the morning show this morning, it wouldn't be great if 5 years from now, we wouldn't have to have something like this.
Yeah.
That the government and the school systems would be able to provide this, and families wouldn't have to worry about how am I going to manage my funds to make sure that my child has something to eat, because we all need to eat to survive. And especially, they've done studies, if a student is hungry, they're not going to learn as well. They're not going to do as well when they're in school. So we want to support the students. And one of the ways that we can do that is supporting the families by helping them manage to be able to pay for that food.
This is an investment.
Yes.
You are putting an investment. This is no different than buying stocks.
Mm-hmm.
You are putting an investment in our future, in the future of our country, in the future of our communities. That's what this is. They, mm-hmm. These kids, that's what they're going to be doing. If we do our job right as adults, we set them up to succeed. We set them up to be better than us.
And this all came out of conversations between the school districts and the churches. You know, our desire to say, hey, we're all a part of the same community. We're all helping the same families. What can we do to work together for their benefit?
Another thing I think this does, too, is bring attention to the issue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a lot of people out there listening would have even realized that this is a problem.
Right. And we think about it in big cities, and over there it's happening. It's happening right here in our own community, in our own backyard, probably to people we know, but we're unaware that that's a need that they have. So any little thing that we can do to be of support, and we can do it anonymously. You know, we don't need to know who they are to know that they need the help. So what can we do to help them?
One other note I wanted to add to this, and I bring it up just because I think it may not be the biggest thing on people's minds, but it's another factor in this. I was one of these kids. It wasn't because of school lunch, but it was a book fine or something like that. But we just didn't have a lot of money, and I didn't have the money to pay for it. So I was not able to walk with my class on graduation, and I've never let that go. Like, that has bothered me my whole life. I worked so hard to get to that point. I was the first James in my family to graduate high school. It meant a big deal. I wanted my family to be able to see me up there and everything. The hardest year of my life was my senior year. And that was a big deal to me to accomplish that.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't able to take advantage of it, though. I wasn't able to walk with all my fellow classmates or all these things. And it was, you know, for a silly reason, you know, quite bluntly. I taking that from a kid is not a good thing. Like, I'm not saying it's life or death or any of these kind of things. I'm not over dramatizing it, but it does affect a kid.
Right. And it's often not that student's fault. It's just the way that their family, the situation in which their family finds themselves. And so to penalize them for that, we want to make that not happen. And from what I understand, and to Nakusa's credit, is that student will still be able to walk.
Yeah.
They just won't be That's able cool. to get their diploma or their transcripts to move on to the next step until that debt is paid. So I'm thankful that they're not going to add that stigma of not being able to be a part of the ceremony to it. But we want them to be able to walk and get that transcript and not have to worry about it at all.
Yeah.
So this is just one simple way. And again, you can donate more than the $10 that we're suggesting. If you can't make it, still feel free to get that money to the school system so that there are students that don't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point that you've brought up, you don't have to, first off, you don't have to wait until May 20th to be a part of this. You can help out kids right now.
Mm-hmm.
But also that if you aren't able to be a part of this event, that you can still participate in, you can still be a part of it by donating, by
Absolutely.
Investing in your community, by investing in these kids.
Mm-hmm. And you don't even have to wait to do it through us. You know, you can easily contact the school system and say, hey, I understand that there are students that have debt. Here's some money. You know, where do I drop off the check? Well, how much do you want? That kind of thing.
With an event like this, too, it's a first annual.
Mm-hmm.
And as I always like to remind people that are hosting the events or people that are participating in it, I've been doing this for a long time, especially in this community, seeing a lot of first events. It takes a year or two. It takes some time to build these things.
So here's the pun. We're going to ask for your grace as we still get our feet underneath us to figure out how best to do this. And again, our hope and our goal is to maybe make this a 5K.
Yeah, we along with that and the growth of this as this builds and grows and evolves and everything, Grace, I'm speaking of, as much as I am the walk-off debt event, you brought this up earlier. I want to remind people out there that are listening, if you are a member of a congregation or you are a head of a congregation or anything, please reach out to Grace. How would they do that, Beth?
Right now, I would say contact me. I've inadvertently become the president of this new organization.
This just keeps happening to you. You got to stop being so good at this stuff.
Well, you know, it happens.
Can't help it. Can't help it.
So you can reach out to me at wrmcpastor@gmail.com. You can find my email address at our website, wrmoravian.org. And we would be glad to get that information and pass it on to our secretary so that we can add you to our contact list so that you know when our meetings are going to happen and what things we're doing.
You know, and as we mentioned, you started off in the interview, Beth is the reverend over at the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that we could have spent this, we could have flipped this. We could have spent 20-some minutes on the Moravian Church and just a couple minutes on this. I appreciate that you did that you flipped it like this, because it's an important event, and it also shows not only the work that you do, but a lot of our pastors, our reverends, our people do in this community, mm-hmm. putting community first.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another example of that. I don't know if the audience or anybody, or you even saw that, but I did, and I appreciate it. But I would like to wrap up catching up with the Moravian Church. How are things going over there?
They're going pretty well. We're getting ready for summer. We've got a couple events that we're preparing for. Oh, so Memorial Day weekend, that Friday, I believe, we're going to be getting our big bin out and starting our collection for our book sale, which is coming up in October. So if you're going through your house doing some spring cleaning and you have books that you maybe might not be reading, and you haven't already given them to the United Way, because we highly encourage you to also support them mm-hmm. and give them your children's books so that they have those to give away in June. Anything else you can bring to us and put it into our book bins. We don't take magazines or textbooks, mm-hmm. But we do take any type of fiction, nonfiction, that kind of thing. So we'll have our bin out, and it's out from Memorial Day weekend through at least Labor Day weekend, possibly a little bit later into September. And then we sort through that and we get them already, and we'll be having that book sale the second weekend in October. We'll get more information out to you as we get closer, but we're also starting our process to plan for our annual 4th of July brat fry.
Yeah.
So if you're on the west side watching the fireworks, you can stop by the church and we'll have brats and drinks and all sorts of wonderful goodies, especially homemade baked stuff by our congregation.
Yes, that's what I was waiting for. Yeah, yeah. There is no better baked goods in the world than at any church.
Churchwomen know how to bake, mm-hmm. church men and women, because we do have a couple of male bakers in our congregation that do a phenomenal job as well.
And, you bring up the 4th of July and everything. Mm-hmm. For those, especially if you're new to town or don't know already, one of the best spots to see the fireworks just happens to be right where you guys are.
Exactly. They kind of block off our church when they block off the street. So you can, park near our church. We reserve our church parking lot specifically for those who are physically disabled and need a safe place and a special place to park. So we do, if you're going to come to the area, if you are able to walk it, please park across the street at one of the other parking lots in our area. But if you have a handicap sticker and need a place to park to see the fireworks, come on over, and then you can walk right around our building and you can watch the fireworks from on First Avenue.
And the book sale, we'll talk about more, of course, mm-hmm. as we get closer to it. But just to put the seed in your head, let that tree grow. This is a huge thing, not just for the Moravian Church, but for our community. So many people enjoy this. It's such a wonderful event. When you guys first moved here, I ran your ear off talking about it. Yeah. It's how I discovered the Moravian Church.
Right.
It's how I discovered a lot about Moravians and that mm-hmm. is going there and talking with people. My mom and I used to make the trip all the time, going mm-hmm. there to check out books and stuff. It's such a great event. It's a great use of books that people aren't using anymore. Mm-hmm. They can get them in people's hands that could mm-hmm. really put a use to them.
And then the money that we raise from that, we don't keep any of that at the church. That mm-hmm. 100% goes towards scholarships at Mid-State Technical College so that people can grow in their education and further, their employment.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really cool thing to be able to do. As a side note, you and I got to get on stage again.
I know.
Did you pick up on that?
I did.
I was just thinking about that. I'm like, man, it's been. It's. I know it's only been a year, but it's been too long. We
have
to do
that.
It
has been. Yes, we'll have to look into that.
I want to talk about wrap up here as we're wrapping things up. Just go over the Walk Off Dead event again mm-hmm. one more time. Can we give people details about the event?
Absolutely. It's coming up this Saturday, May 20th. Registration will begin at 8:30. We'll start the walk at 9 a.m. We do suggest a donation of at least $10 per person for participation, and all of the proceeds will be going towards paying off food service debt for students at the Nakusa School District. Again, this is one of those, if you want to walk walk two blocks. If you want to walk the 2 miles, or lap it and do even more. So walk as little or as much as you want. Find us at the Riverside Park in Nakusa, again, starting at 8:30 on Saturday.
And, of course, if you are interested in being a part of Grace, mm-hmm. we encourage you to reach out to Beth. Again, one more time, Beth, that information.
WRMC Pastor. So Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church, WRMCPastor@gmail.com. Find that email address again at our website, WRMoravian.org. And again, Grace is for the clergy or a congregational representative. So ask your pastor, ask your leaders, are you a part of this? If you really want to encourage them to be a part of our organization.
And if I can add, along with WRMoravian.org is a great website, do yourself a favor and type into your search bar on YouTube, Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. Subscribe to their page. It's a great way to see the services that Beth mm-hmm. performs every week and other fun stuff that you guys do over there.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for the time, Beth. Appreciate you. She had to do double duty this week. Back-to-back days she had to put up with me. That's not easy.
I know.
Get a nice coffee or something for yourself. You deserve it,
Beth. Hey, the bonus is I get to see my husband. Well, there you go. I'm happy about that.
It balances out. We will have more Morning Magazine for you tomorrow right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.